we've just heard the story shared this morning. The story of Jesus and what he went through on that fateful day. How he was mocked and crucified. How he breathed his last and was buried. And to hear that story and to reflect on it and to think about the depth of it, it's very moving. I mean, how could it not be? Sometimes we do say that word a lot, don't we? We say something moved us. Maybe that song moved me, or that film or that story moved me, or something I saw. And usually what it means is that it's made us feel something emotionally quite deep. Like it stirred us, or it's touched us. It's reached us emotionally. But being moved in this sense doesn't seem to be a lasting effect. Things that moved us for a moment don't often change us for the long term. Many things in life can move us for a moment, but very few things can actually compel us and change us. And being moved is not the same as being compelled. Some things can touch us deeply, but they won't take hold of us in the same way. Lots of things might stir our emotions for a moment, but very few things will ever change our direction in life or take hold of us to the point where we're just not left the same. And Good Friday and the cross are not meant to just leave us in a space where it's just a religious event that we visit once a year and we remember the story of Jesus and we feel moved and we feel the deep emotion. I mean, yes, we do that, but that's not all Good Friday's about. It's meant to lay claim to us and compel us towards Jesus, meant to change us and leave us not the same. And that's the language that the Apostle Paul used when he started talking about Jesus. That the love of Christ had compelled him. Not that Christ's love had interested us, not that it had inspired us, and not that it had moved us, but that Christ's love compelled us. And Paul wasn't speaking theoretically here. He was actually talking about what he had lived out and what he had experienced, that the love of Christ had taken hold of his life and so redirected him that people, when they talked about Paul, were like, what is going on with that man? He's out of his mind. They called him crazy. They were like, why have you given up this old life that you had to go around talking about Jesus? They thought he was mad in the way that he was just so passionate about talking about Jesus in the way that he did. But Paul knew exactly why he lived the way he did. And we see that in our reading for today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says this, if we are out of our mind, that's the accusations that Paul is addressing. If we are out of our mind, as some say, then it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for your sake. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That key line in there, that for Christ's love compels us. This is something that's been standing out to me as we prepare for Easter. And it just been reminding me that this is not just a passive thing we experience once a year. This is something that should be moving us and changing us. Because the cross is not moving, it is compelling. Good Friday is not meant just to make us feel stuff about Jesus and his death and the heaviness and the weight of all that. I mean, of course it does. How could it not? to read about and to hear this morning just that snippet of the story. And to think about what Jesus went through, the punishment that he endured, the trauma and the pain. And then to even think about the deeper implications of what that means for all of us spiritually. The fact that he went through all this to bring atonement for sin for all people, that is very moving. And it makes me feel deep and heavy emotions, as it should. But it's not only meant to make me feel something. It's meant to draw us towards Jesus. The cross is not something for us to just admire from a distance and go, that's a great story. I love that. It's meant to be striking and pressing in on us and calling for a response. Good Friday is not just to me an emotional day about Jesus. It's supposed to draw me towards him. So what is it that is compelling about his love? What is it that is compelling about the cross? Paul says in this verse that we're looking at that Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. That Jesus died for us, died on our behalf, died in our place. And that does raise questions that people legitimately ask, like, why was that necessary? Why can't we just fix it ourselves? Why can't we do it ourselves? Can't we just be better people and turn ourselves around or show that we mean it? Like, why did Jesus have to come and die? I mean, he had to because this problem was not a behavioral issue. It was a much deeper issue. He had to die because the problem was deeper than behavior. Sin is not just wrong things we do every now and then. It goes way deeper than that. It affects our hearts. It affects our desires and our will and our very nature. Sin turns us away from God. Sin distorts the way that we see the world. Sin is a thing that has got all of humanity in its grip. And it makes us want to be our own ruler and bends us in ourselves into a state of self-centeredness. It makes us resist surrendering to the one who made us and being able to come fully before the Father. Even our best efforts of turning towards God and trying to be closer to him, they're often born out of self-focused and self-interest kind of things. And this means we don't need just better habits or more effort or following a good example or getting some fresh motivation. No, that's not going to help us. We needed rescue. We needed someone to come and step in and release us from the power of sin because we can't do that ourselves. We need someone who can come and bring forgiveness for the things that we've done under sin. We need someone who can come and broker reconciliation between us and God. And so Jesus came to this earth not only to teach us, but he did. And he came not only to inspire us, though he does. And he came not just to show us a good example of how to live, even though that's what he did. No, Jesus came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Because the Bible says the consequence of sin, the wage of sin is death. That's the penalty of it. That's the seriousness of it. It's not a Mickey Mouse kind of thing. It's a very decent consequence. Sin just gets in the way between us and God. So when Jesus went to the cross, he was bearing on himself that entire cost of sin. It's not only a display of love of dying in our place, it's also an act of rescue. Because our problem with sin is deeper than just behavior. We don't need to just improve ourselves. We actually need a deep rescue, some forgiveness and reconciliation. And we have Jesus to do that for us. I mean, the fact that God said that someone had to die for this and he decided that Jesus was going to do it shows us that we were never going to be able to save ourselves. We can't do enough. We can't try hard enough. We can't overcome the power of sin that has humanity in its grip. That's something we can't break out of. And we might try to cling to morality or being good people. We might gravitate towards religion or attending church, or we might compare ourselves to others and go, well, I'm a bit better than that person over there, so surely I'm doing okay. We might try and do things to make up for the mistakes of our past. Or we live as though maybe God will be pleased with us, or maybe we're trying to see if he'll let us get into heaven based on the way that we're acting, if we're decent enough or sincere enough or sorry enough. But that's not going to cut it, because sin's not just I feel sorry about this issue. Sin is a cutting deep issue. And here is what Jesus dying and paying it all on the cross makes unmistakably clear. If salvation and reconciliation could have come through our own efforts, then there's no reason for Jesus to die. No reason at all. The fact that he had to tells me a few things about it. It tells me that the problem of sin is much greater than I'm willing to admit, because I would like to fix it myself. It tells me that the problem is far deeper than I could ever fix, that sin is something that cannot be cleaned up by my own efforts or by practicing religion or by trying harder. We're not just people in need of a bit of encouragement or motivation. We need actual rescue from the problem of sin, the thing that is gripping us and holding us and shaping the way we act. And so in sending Jesus, by becoming a man himself, God has not merely pointed us towards a rescue plan and gone, that's the way you fix yourself. No, he's come and become the rescue plan himself. The cross humbles us, because it tells us that we could never make ourselves right with God. But the good news is that Christ has done for us what we could never achieve on our own. Paul goes on to say that not only did one die for all, but therefore all died, which sounds a little bit tongue-twister in a moment. But in other words, Jesus so truly stands for us, stands in our place, that his death fully counts for all those who belong to him. And because his death counts for all of us, we don't need to try and pay that debt ourselves. I mean, we can accept the fact that Christ's death has paid it, but so often we go, I'm not sure if I'm ready to accept that. I'm going to try my own way. We might not say it in so many words, but it's just a way that sometimes we act. In fact, trying to do things to make God love us more or to make up for our mistakes or cover our sin is like trying to pay for something that's already paid for. I remember once I went to lunch with some friends and we're hanging around the table having a good time. One of my friends had to leave early, and so before he left, he went and stopped at the counter to pay what we thought was his share of the meal. And later on, when the rest of us got up to leave, we all got our wallets out, our cards out, we'd worked out the split, and we knew what we'd eaten, we knew what we all each owed. We got to the counter and they said, oh no, your table's already paid for. And we're like, no, I'm good, I've got my money here. Like, well, you can pay again if you want, but that's a waste. You know, you don't need to. Your friend has already paid. There's nothing left for us to pay because he had covered the whole debt for us at that table. Now, it's a pretty poor comparison, but it gives me a picture in my mind of what Jesus has done for us. And if we kind of look at the cross through that kind of picture and that imagery, as we've already talked about, we're never going to be able to make ourselves right with God. We're never going to be able to pay that debt. It's like we've all been to lunch and none of us could afford to pay for it. The debt was just that high. The debt of our sin, the debt of our lunch, it's all too great for us to pay. No amount of trying harder or offering to do the washing up or trying to make up for the past, none of that is going to cover the debt that we've racked up. But in Jesus, the debt has been paid. Jesus stood up from the table and went and paid the debt on our behalf. I don't know about you, but my friend paid for lunch for me. I was quite happy about that. Realizing Jesus has paid my sin debt, I think that makes me a little bit more joyful than just having a friend pay for a bit of soup. And now we can sit here and receive that gift of free life that Jesus brings, being free from the debt. Not because the debt didn't matter. It was not a trivial debt at all. No, we can sit here and receive the gift and be happy because Jesus has covered this immense debt. He stepped in and paid what we could not afford. And this is where the cross becomes not just humbling, but also deeply comforting, because if Jesus has done that for us, what does that say about his love for us? How much he cares for us? It tells us that our sin debt was not only great, but that Christ's love for us was even greater. We matter to him. He cares enough for us to come and deal with the debt that we couldn't pay. Because without the cross, our efforts are never going to be enough. But with the cross, they are no longer necessary. If Christ has paid this in full, there's no need for us to keep trying to pay again by trying to do better and trying to be good. We can enjoy the reconciliation we have with God. And we're going to talk more about that on Sunday. But for now, Christ did not merely bring a rescue package to us. He became the rescue package. He took that debt on himself. He paid the debt we'd accumulated. And now we are debt free. And if that's true, then Jesus' death doesn't only deal with our past and cover our sin. It frees us up for a new life. It impacts our future and changes everything that we can step into. And if Christ's love is going to compel us, it's going to do more than just move us emotionally. And the cross is not going to just leave us where we were. It's going to compel us into something new. It compels us out of our old life marked by sin and into a new life marked by freedom in Christ. Jesus didn't die just so that we could carry on the same way, so we could just stay the same as we were. No, he died to pay that debt so that we could be released into the freedom of living this new life with him. And that old life wasn't just a life of just doing something wrong every now and again. No, it was a life under the grip of sin. I just need you to capture that, that sin is not just something we do. It's something that holds us and binds us and shackles us. It's a life that's, because of sin, curved in on oneself and distorted, and shame speaks loudly to us and impacts us. And it's a life marked by bondage and brokenness, and a life that is just, we can't break out of the patterns that we seem to be stuck in. But because of Jesus' death, sin doesn't get the final word anymore. Those shackles are broken and we are free. We don't need to hide from God. We don't need to feel guilt or shame when we think about God. We're no longer trying to earn his welcome. We're no longer trying to be defined by, hey, am I good enough? Have I covered the debt? Have I made it across the line? No, our guilt is dealt with. Our condemnation is gone. Sin's claim over us is broken. How great is that? Sin is no longer our master. We have freedom to live life with Jesus. It doesn't always mean we become perfect overnight, But it does mean that we get to live a life that is no longer under the sin's rule. Because in Christ, our sin is paid. Our new life has been opened up to us. A life of forgiveness, a life marked by reconciliation with God. A life marked of grace, a life of freedom. Freedom not just from the power of sin, but freedom to be able to go and belong with Jesus. Freedom to be able to go and walk with him because sin's no longer in the way, getting in the way of us and God being together. Free to live out that grace that shapes us and to be able to live the life that God intended. That controlling power of sin in our lives is no more. It's not the only way we have to live. We have the freedom of the Holy Spirit with us. So yes, the cross forgives our past, but it does so much more than that. The cross also opens up freedom to a new future of walking with Jesus. And that is indeed good news. His death compels us out of an old life marked by sin into a new life marked by freedom in Christ. So Good Friday is not just something for us to feel or be moved by or go, yeah, that was a heavy morning as we thought about what Jesus did. It's not just something to admire and go, cool story. Yeah, glad you did that, Jesus. No, it should draw us towards the cross, draw us towards God because of the freedom that it brings. It's not just moving, it's compelling. It's something for us to step into because when we stand before the cross, we see the magnitude of God's love. We see that sin is dealt with and its power is broken, that a debt that we could never afford to pay has been covered, that we are rescued from the power of sin and a new life is opened up to us. If you're someone who's always kept Jesus at a distance or kept him at arm's length, the cross calls you to come close to him, to see who he is and learn more about him. If you feel like you're weighed down by guilt, the cross tells us that debt of sin is already paid. You can have that burden lifted. If you're tired of trying to fix yourself or to try and be good enough for God, the cross tells us that Christ has done all the work and you don't have to do anything to earn your way to Jesus. If you're feeling stuck in sin, the cross tells us that the old life is not the only way to live, that we're not controlled by sin anymore, and that's not the only life available. We can follow the Holy Spirit. So don't just feel an emotional weight about today. Don't just admire him from a distance. Come to him. Be compelled by him. Let the love of God draw you in. Let his death call you out of the old life and into the new. Let's pray for a moment. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for the cross and the good news that it is for us. God, we thank you that you were willing to come and suffer the punishment, the trauma, the beatings, the mockery, the death, a debt that we could not pay ourselves. God, that you would do that for us. Thank you for showing that much love to us. God, as we reflect and remember it today, maybe not just be moved by this, or just feel the heavy emotional weight, but God, that we would be compelled towards you by what you've done for us. God, help us to grasp and comprehend what it is you've accomplished by going to the cross for us. God, draw us into yourself. Help us to walk in that freedom that you bring as we are released from the shackles of sin. Freedom to no longer be slaves to sin, but to be living for you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.